If you turn first of all to Joshua and chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. Lest you wonder why we sometimes ask for one hymn book rather than the other. It's just we do like a bit of variety in our meetings, and if we sing too many from the same book, we tend to sing the same hymns week after week. So that's just to explain that practical matter. So Joshua chapter 1. We begin to read verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And then the second reading from Revelation chapter 1, the last book in the Bible. Revelation in chapter 1. And we begin to read at verse 8. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, that's the breast, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Let's just pray before we hear from the Lord. Father, we just look to you. We want to hear from you. We want you to manifest your presence, and we want to manifest your character now amongst us, that we might be changed, that we might be conformed to your own image. We seek your grace. I seek your grace and your enabling to bring forth the word that you've given me, that I might do it in the Spirit, and that I might do it in power and with authority. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. To put this passage in the book of Revelation in context, it's written by the Apostle John. John was one of the disciples, one of the followers of the Lord Jesus. And here he's writing this at the end of his life, and he's been serving the Lord, and he's been going around telling people about the Lord Jesus. And when he's writing this, he is exiled to the island of Patmos, because he's been going around telling people about the Lord Jesus. Now, it's very interesting, the picture of the Lord Jesus, the vision of himself that he gives to John in this situation. You see, John is an old man, he's in a difficult situation, but when Jesus comes, he doesn't come in just a sort of a gentle way. He doesn't just come a sort of in that comforting way, just there, John, everything's going to be all right, don't worry. Jesus comes, in a sense, as a man of war. He comes in triumph, and he comes in power, and if that's the character of himself that he displays to John. So John, in the middle of a very difficult situation, Jesus doesn't just come and say, there. He comes in power. And really, the essence of his message to John is, you've got to toughen up, you've got to be a man, in effect. And when we come down to verse 17, where it says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." He is, in a sense, confirming the vision that's come in the preceding verses. And to someone like John, who is in a place where he's feeling timid or afraid, Jesus comes and says, "You can't be afraid. You can't be afraid. You've got to be bold. You've got to be a man. You've got to, as it were, get a grip. You've got to be tough with your situation." Now, that's very often not the approach that we would have to someone like John. You know, we'd send them a nice card with a pleasant picture on the front and, you know, a cheering message. But Jesus comes in power and says, "No, John, you've got to, as it were, toughen up in the midst of your situation." And we need to apply that to ourselves, because we're going to go through difficult times. It's a fact of life. We're going to go through difficult times. But in the midst of the difficult time, it's very easy for us to just collapse and just to go in and just to lie down and say, "Oh, I can't cope with this." But God and the Lord Jesus here is preparing John for some very specific things that are going to happen, not just for him, but for the whole church. And this is the start of the revelation that Jesus is giving to John. And Jesus is going to have to reveal to him some very hard things that are going to happen to the church, some very difficult things. He's going to show to him people who are beheaded for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's tough. And John has got to be ready to see that, in a sense. He's got to see some of these extraordinary things that are going on. I think later on it talks about something that seems to me like a nuclear helicopter. You remember, I think it's like a locust, and it has the sting of a scorpion. It seems to me very much it's talking about something like a nuclear helicopter. And John, in the first century AD, he's getting a vision of all these extraordinary things at the end times. And in such a situation, Jesus can't just come and say, "Oh, John, you're a poor old man, you know, don't worry too much." He has to say to him, "John, you've got to be a man, you've got to toughen up, you've got to see me as I really am." And sometimes we can get such a wrong idea of the Lord Jesus. We can see him as weak, as wet, as soft. But here, as he's preparing John for difficult times, he comes to him in power. This is how he describes him. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about perhaps with a golden girdle. It's like a belt of war, we might say. His head and his hairs were white, like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. His eyes as a flame of fire. You look at Jesus and you're shocked by the flame of fire, as it were, coming out of his eyes. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. This is something shocking. This is something big, it's dramatic, it's strong. Purely for this purpose that Jesus is trying to get into John a picture of the power and the strength of the Almighty God, and that he might be conformed into the image of God. And we talk a lot about being conformed into the image of the Lord, but sometimes we don't relate that to a people walking in power, a people walking in strength, a people having the strength of their God. And that's all this is what this vision is all about, being strong and toughening up because we're going to face these difficulties. And it continues. It says, out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Again, this is talking of warfare. It's talking about a fight. It's not talking about weakness. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. We've been thinking about this as we prayed before the meeting. This is a powerful image of God in as one who is dramatic. Now, we have to be very careful about the image that we have of the Lord Jesus, because man gives us a particular image, and as we read the Gospels, we can create a Jesus after our own image. We create a Jesus who's like us. So if we're wet, if we're soft, if we are weak in the bad sense of the word, then we sort of create, we paint a Jesus who is like that. The fact that we create a God in our own image is clearly shown in Romans chapter 1 and verse 23, and it says professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. We create a God who is like us, and whatever we're like, that's what we try and make God to be. But as you read through the Gospels and actually listen to what Jesus says and pay attention to what he was really like, he was not someone who was soft. He was compassionate. He was kind. When someone was crushed, he would come and with the gentleness to the woman taken in adultery, surrounded by people attacking her. Yes, there was the word of compassion and but the right thing. He came in with truth and a strong word for those accusing. But very often, we need something that says, come on, be courageous, strengthen yourself, get on with it, toughen up. And we see, for example, in Luke chapter 9, Jesus being very forthright. As you read through the Gospels, Jesus is very forthright. I don't know where people get this idea of a kind of a soft Jesus. He speaks in a very forthright way. And if we think that Jesus is this kind of soft character, I don't know, we must be reading the Bible with very strangely tinted spectacles. But looking at Luke chapter 9, from verse 57, it says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And, you know, that's encouraging. It's a good sign. Someone is being positive. How would we respond to that? We say, oh, that's marvelous. Come with us. And Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He is so almost off-putting. He is so dramatic in the way he speaks. And he said unto another, follow me. And the man said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell, them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. We see the same thing in the life of Peter. Remember, Jesus is heading, as it were, to the cross, and Jesus is explaining to the disciples, his followers, that he's got to face the cross. He's saying, I've got to go and be crucified. I've got to die. I've got to suffer. And Peter says to him, oh no, Lord, we won't let you do that. You can't do that. And Jesus says to him, in effect, get out of my way, Peter. Get out of my way. He says, get behind me, Satan. He calls him an adversary. He says, you're in my way. You're getting between me and what I need to do. And Jesus knows that in In order to save mankind, he's got to get to the cross. He's got to do what is necessary. And in that situation, just having this soft approach and the idea that's naturally in mankind of trying to avoid anything too difficult, Peter saying, no, you can't go to the cross, Lord. Jesus says, that's getting in my way. You're being too soft. And if I'm going to get to the cross, there's got to be, as it were, a toughness. There's got to be a strength. It says that he set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem. He said, I've got to get through to where I need to be. And no one could stand in his way. No soft talking could get in the way of Jesus. He had to be absolutely resolute to get through to where he needed to be. And it's the same for us. If we're going to get through to where we need to be resolute, we need to be tough, and we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ and say, just as you are the leader and you lead in triumph, I'm going to follow, and I'm going to be steadfast and go wherever you're leading me, even though it's going to go through tough. I'm going to have to go through tough times. And this is what we've got to get a grip of. We're going to go through tough times. Some things in life are hard, and we've got to be tough in order to get through to where God wants us to be. Jesus had to be crucified. We've got something tough that we've got to get through. And if we are wet, if we're wimps, we're not going to get to where God wants us to be. Hallelujah. Let's look again at Joshua, because this whole thing is very clearly demonstrated in the life of Joshua. Joshua was a great leader of the Israelites. He was like the military general, the overseer of the people. He's just taken over from Moses, and he's got to lead them into the promised land. And Joshua and chapter 1, from verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And I don't know if you noticed in the passage, that the whole passage we read earlier, three times in that small section, God says, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua is going to be, he's got to go in, he's got to fight battles, he's got to overcome the enemy, he's got to attack cities and overthrow them. That's what God has commanded him to do. He's attacking a people who are wicked, and God says they've got to be destroyed. But in the being tough, notice what it says that he's got to be tough about. It says, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. It doesn't say you've got to be tough to overcome the enemy. It's not you've got to be tough to brave up to them to kill the enemy. It says, no, you've got to be tough in order to observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So in a sense, the toughness is about overcoming the internal battles. It's about being strong to face up to whatever God is throwing at us. And we find that in the life of Joshua. It's interesting, they go through the Jordan, and then you get to chapter 5, and the first thing that they have to do is to be circumcised. Now, circumcision, it was a symbolic cutting of the flesh that God gave to the Israelites, and it symbolizes to us cutting off all that is of flesh. All that is of flesh. Everything that is not of God in our lives, everything that is excess, everything that is to do with us. And in a sense, the first thing that they had to be strong to do was to be circumcised. It wasn't going in and first of all attacking the enemy. The first thing they had to be strong to do was to be circumcised. And for us as believers, The first thing, in a sense, that we need to be strong in our lives to do is to cut off everything that is flesh in our lives. That means everything that is not of God, everything that is just of the old man, our old fleshly, sinful desires. He says, cut it off! Cut it off! And you've got to be a man to do it. You've got to be strong. You've got to be tough. And I say this to the women as well, in a sense. You've got to be tough. You've got to be real about it. And when you're faced with it, we are prone to crumble. Crumple up and just say, I can't go with this. I can't manage to do this. That's why God says to Joshua 3 times, be strong and very courageous. You've got to be tough to get through to where you need to be. And if you're going to Joshua, if you're going to be victorious, it's the equivalent to us being a powerful witness in our day. If you're going to overcome, you've got to be strong and courageous. And whatever comes your way, whatever I ask of you, God says, you've got to be able to overcome. You've got to be tough to get through with what I'm asking you to do. So the first thing is circumcision. And there are issues in your life that you know that you need to deal with. You need to cut off the flesh. You need to remove those things and be, as it were, concentrated, focused in your Christian life. So I'm going to get on with it. I'm going to focus reading the Bible, praying, telling people about God. And I'm going to cut off these fleshly things, whether it's the things you watch or the things you read or emotions that are controlling you or wrong desires of all of this. It's cutting it off, and it's being strong to be drastic with that and say, first of all, I want to be a man of God, a woman of God, and I'm going to be strong to cut that off. So in chapter 5, they have the circumcision, and that prepares them for battle. And then the next thing that happens is they are very victorious. They overthrow a city called Jericho, and it's a wonderful victory, and they win that one. But God has already commanded them that when they go into this city, they cannot take anything for themselves. They can't take the gold or the silver or the animals. They've got to destroy everything. Now, one person disobeys that, a man called Achan, and he takes the treasure and he hides it in his tent. No one knows that he's done this. But what happens is that when they go into battle again, they go against a place called Ai. And as they go into that place and seek to attack it, they are defeated. The people of God are defeated. Now, what I want you to notice in chapter 7 of Joshua, how Joshua responds to what goes on. Because they go in, they go out to battle, they are defeated. Everything goes wrong, they lose, a number of men die, they're defeated. And Joshua 7 and verse 6, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? And then to verse 10 it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus upon your face? You see, Joshua is in a place of defeat. Things have gone wrong. And he sort of lies on the ground and sort of wails and goes boo-hoo because things have gone wrong. But God's response to him is not there, you know, I'm going to make everything all right. But God says to Joshua, get up and deal with the problem. And sometimes for us, when we have a problem, we're used to lying on the ground and saying boo-hoo, and God will say to us, get up, deal with the problem. And Joshua has to go and find who it is in the camp who has sinned, and it's this man called Achan, and it's confirmed who it is. And they get Achan, and they take him out, and they stone him and his family with stones and bury all his possessions under a pile of stones. And that is a very dramatic way of dealing with sin. It's what God has commanded. And just as that was a dramatic way of dealing with someone who had sinned badly in the camp, a man who had disobeyed God, he had taken that treasure and hidden it, and as a result they'd lost many people in the battle. They had to deal with that very dramatically and strongly. And so in our lives it speaks to us about dealing with sin very strongly and very directly and very dramatically. And so often when something goes wrong in our place of difficulty, we're lying on the ground saying boo-hoo. I don't know if you ever feel like going back to bed when things go wrong. I felt like that this week. I had major problems trying to sort out a delivery that I was having to take down to the Christian publishing ministry we run, down to Hampshire, and to pick one up, and just everything went wrong. The forklift wouldn't work, and then the people who were supposed to come to fix the forklift didn't say they were coming, so I missed them, and then the next day they misdiagnosed the fault, and then the person who was supposed to come 2 days didn't come for 2 days, and then revealed that the first chap had misdiagnosed it. Then they've got to get the parts in, and it still isn't fixed, and they may come tomorrow or the next day, Daniel has had similar problems. You know, you plan so much in advance. We planned for the bookshop that all the orders would be here well in advance. We give them the people the warning, and then you ring up and say, you know, is it on track? And they say, oh, what was that? What's your order about? And they've completely forgotten about it, and they're not doing anything about it. And you've got your deadline that you're working towards, and everything is running up to the last minute, and you're starting to get stressed. And you know, this week I just felt like going back to bed. I just want to lie down and give up and leave it to you, Lord, to sort out. And because I had this message already on my heart, I've had it for about 3 weeks, but I had this message on my heart this week, knowing I was going to preach it today. And so I just felt it within me saying, get on with it. Be a man. Don't just give in. You're going to have to work through your problems. But sometimes if we're just looking at the Lord and just saying, oh Lord, just come and give me a bit of comfort, rather than the Lord coming and, as it were, strengthening us and saying, come on, be tough in me. You have to be tough in the Lord, but it's having that strength and being resolute when we face the difficulties. And God said to Joshua, get up, deal with the problem. And some of us, we've got problems, we can't lie down, wait for them to go away. We've got to get up, deal with it. There's sometimes, you know, the sin in our lives that is causing a defeat in our lives. We can't move forward, we've got problems, and that's due to sin. And we're not getting on and dealing with the sin. And as long as we are sloppy about the sin and don't just get on and deal with the sin, the problem is going to remain. And the people of Israel, the children of Israel, would have remained in defeat until they had dealt with the sin. If God had come to Joshua and said, oh, I know it's hard, everything will be all right, the problem wouldn't have been dealt with. And it may sound tough of God to deal with it, but that's how God comes. That's how the Lord Jesus comes. When we read in Revelation that he comes with a sword, that's the sword of truth, to cut away the rubbish, to say this is the way that you need to take. And however painful sometimes it seems and feels, when God comes with a sword, that's the best option. It's the thing that is going to give us deliverance. This word to the children of Israel was the thing that was going to give them deliverance. It was going to deal with a problem. It was harsh. It meant stoning a man and his family. But then they could move on, and it would mean victory as long as they walked with the Lord, as long as they trusted the Lord. And I want to ask you today, do you want victory? You're going to have to be tough. And as we said before, God commanded Joshua to be tough concerning the internal things. And sometimes we like to be tough against the devil, and you know, people, they shouldn't, but they shout at the devil, and we think, well, we're tough, and we rail against what's going on in the world and in politics, and we think we're tough. But the toughness needs to be dealing with what's inside us. So if we're going to be victorious, if we're going to go where God wants us to be, we have got to be tough in dealing with sin. Let me ask you, are you willing to take those necessary steps? of dealing with sin, that you might come into victory, that you might, that God might be able to use you, that you might be able to serve God. Are you willing to turn from that sloppy approach to dealing with sin and say, yes, I'm going to get a grip, I'm going to put away the sin, I'm going to put away, just like Achan was put away and stoned. So it could, Achan was covered with stones, so he was not only dead, but he was buried. Are you going to have that approach to sin and say, I'm not only going to kill it, but I'm going to bury it. So it's completely gone. A completely drastic approach to dealing with sin, and it's not going to rise out and be a problem anymore. Hallelujah. Then the final example from Joshua comes right at the end of his life and at the end of the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24. And this is about a certain steadfastness, about the direction that we're going to take. Joshua reminds the children of Israel of how God has been good to them, and each one of us here can say how God has been good to us. And God reminds them of their history, but then Joshua lays before them a choice of which direction they're going to take. And this is something that God can bring before us. Joshua 24 and verse 14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua is setting forth the fact that he is going to be tough, he's going to be resolute in the direction that he's taking. But he's putting before them a choice. And I want to ask you, which way are you going to take? Are you going to take the way of weakness and the way of foolishness, and I'm just going to go any way I want? Or are you going to say, I can see what God has done for me already. I can see how he's blessed me. I can see how he's worked in my life. And just as he's begun that thing, I'm going to be resolute and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to keep going. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And sometimes in our lives, we need to get a grip of where we're going and where God is leading and the vision that God has for us, and to follow that vision. You see, speaks in the New Testament about being blown about on every wind of doctrine. But God wants us to get from him where we're going and then to follow that path and keep to that path. Obviously, if God makes it very clear that we're on a wrong path, well, that was a mistake to start with, and we must get right with God. But if we are on a path, we need to follow that path where God is leading. And I just want to say, within this assembly, as leadership, we seek the Lord for a vision, and we believe we have a vision for where the Lord is leading this assembly. We are to continue to seek him in prayer, at times in fasting. We believe he's going to pour out his spirit here in power. We believe we're going to see the lost saved. And we're going to stick to that, but with the help of God, we're going to stick to that vision which God has given to us, and we will not be diverted from it by the grace of God. And I just want to say a word. Do not ever despise strong leadership. Do not ever despise strong leadership. Because if you have leadership who know where they're going and aren't going to be diverted, and one week it's this and one week it's that, it's far more reassuring for a congregation, for a church. People who seek the Lord for a vision and will pursue it and keep going whatever comes in their way. Because as leadership, you have a lot coming against you. And you've got to be tough to keep on with the vision that God has given you. And whatever anyone says to you, whatever attack the devil brings to you, you've got to be tough enough to carry it through, and also to carry the people through with you. Joshua, God came to Joshua to start with and told him to be tough. And in the previous chapter 23, Joshua says the same thing to the people that God has said to him. He says to them, be strong and be of a good courage, but he could do that because he was one who led. And I want to say as a church, the leadership have got to know where they're going, and they've got to be able to lead strongly in order to protect the assembly and in order to help the assembly. Do not despise strong leadership. If you look at churches that are successful, pretty much always you will see a church that has strong leadership, that has leaders who know where they're going, they've got a vision from God, and they're going to pursue it, whatever comes their way. And in the coming days, as the world gets tougher for Christians, we're going to need strong leaders. We're going to need strong leaders who are not diverted, who can stand up under persecution and continue to encourage their flocks, whatever comes their way. And even if the leaders are under strong attack from outside, we need leaders who are going to stand strong and are not going to be diverted, who do not give in to whatever the government is saying we can do or can't do. We need leaders who are going to stand strong in that way. Pray for your leaders here. We need to pray for other leaders, and in the country as well, but pray for your leaders here, that we might be wise and that we might lead strongly, and that God might continue to fill us with his Holy Spirit. We need to pray, brethren, that God would make us a strong people, a steadfast people, people who are not diverted, whatever comes our way. When we face difficulties, that we say to ourselves, come on, get a grip. Get on with it. Deal with what needs dealing with. And if we do that, we will get through to where we need to be. The Lord Jesus was steadfast. He got through to where he needed to be. He got through to the cross. And through getting through to the cross and being steadfast, he bought salvation for the whole of mankind. He bought it for you and me. If he had given up, we would never have been saved. We wouldn't be here today. But he was steadfast. He pursued it. He pursued, as it were, the vision. He got through to where he needed to be. Let me challenge you this morning. You've got a bit of a vision from God for where you need to be. Pursue it. Be determined to be steadfast. Say, you've done all this for me. As Joshua said to the Israelites, he's done all this for us. Decide whom you're going to serve. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me ask you today, you know something of God. You've been following him perhaps a little while, perhaps longer. Have that determination in your heart to be steadfast and say, whatever comes my way, whatever attack, whatever my friends think, whatever they say, whatever difficulties come in my life, I know something of God. I know that he's good. And I'm going to say of myself, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to keep on going. May God give us grace to keep on going, to pursue the vision that he's given us, and to serve him faithfully.